It's time for your weekly checkup. This is Medical Monday, presented by Our Lady of the Lake Health.
Yes, it is time for Medical Monday, and well, we're picking up where we left off from last Medical Monday. This is, of course, Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and we're going to be talking about it not all month long, but a good chunk. Joining us now, rejoining us, back by popular demand, Dr. Ajay Tambe. Dr. Tambe, welcome back. How are you, man?
I'm doing very well. How are you doing today?
I am doing very well as well. Obviously, an important topic. Obviously, a topic that has picked up a lot of momentum over the last, I don't know, say decade or so. We're talking about awareness and whatnot, but there's still a lot to learn up there. So let's dive right back in. Could we start off with, there's more than one type of breast cancer out there. What are the different types of breast cancer and how are they typically diagnosed?
Okay, yeah. So basically, you can classify breast cancer in multiple different ways. Based on their origin, they can be classified as invasive ductal carcinoma, which usually begin in the duct. Mm-hmm. of the breast tissue, or lobular carcinoma, which begin in the lobules. Based on their hormone expression, they can be classified as hormone receptor positive or negative cancers. Cancers can be, HER2 positive or negative based on their HER2 receptor status. If the cancer does not express either the hormone receptors or the HER2 receptor, then we call them as triple negative cancers. They tend to be more on the aggressive side. And, if the cancer is not invasive, means like it's more like a precancerous lesion, we call it DCIS, which means ductal carcinoma in situ. And the way we diagnose it is with most of the cases, we pick them up on screening mammograms.
So between those types, there is one that I don't want to say worse than the others, but is more aggressive than the others.
Correct.
Absolutely. Standard treatment, there's a number of different options out there. What are the different, standard treatment options, and do they apply differently at different stages?
Yes, absolutely. So basically, the precancerous lesions, we usually treat them with surgery. And if they're hormone receptor positive, we give them hormonal therapy. And we also do some radiation in the adjuvant setting. For stage one, usually we start with surgery followed by radiation. And then, as mentioned previously, if they're hormone receptor positive, we give them hormonal therapy. And chemotherapy we give in high-risk patients or if patients have HER2 receptor status positive. In stage two, we treat them similarly to stage one, but in them, we tend to take out more lymph nodes during surgery. And stage two patients tend to get chemotherapy more often. Stage 3 cancers, we treat them with neoadjuvant chemotherapy. Means like we give chemotherapy upfront, even before surgery, in order to shrink the tumors, and then we take them for surgery. And in stage 4, depending, stage 4 is very, it depends on the hormonal receptor expression, the HER2 receptor expression. So for hormonal receptor positive cancers, we give them a combination of hormonal therapy and pills, which are K46 inhibitors. For HER2 cancers, we give them HER2 directed therapy. And in triple negative cancers, we give chemotherapy in combination with immunotherapy. And we are also using ADCs, which are antibody drug conjugates.
We're talking with Dr. Ajay Tambe about breast cancer, as it is, of course, Breast Cancer Awareness Month. Now, that's the standard overall, but it can get a little bit more personalized as well. How does one decide on a more personalized treatment plan for a breast cancer patient?
See, making a personalized treatment plan for a breast cancer patient is an extremely complex process, but usually it starts with a multidisciplinary discussion where a group of doctors from surgery, from radiation oncology, from medical oncology, pathology, we put our collective minds and come up with a treatment plan for each patient. Mm-hmm. And the treatment depends on the age of the patients, their comorbidities, what their overall health is, their genetic predispositions, their hormonal receptor status, and patients' personal preferences as well. Nowadays, we heavily use tests like Oncotype and MammaPrint, which help us further tailor the treatment options. And in advanced cancers, we do next generation sequencing to see if patients are eligible for targeted therapy.
When does the possibility of the mastectomy or double mastectomy come into play here, and how generic is that versus personalized is that?
So basically, if the cancer is early stage or stage one, then we can just do what we call as breast preserving or conserving surgery. Mm-hmm. If we are able to take the tumor out without the chances of having high rates of recurrence, then we do a breast conserving therapy, a surgery. And then, but if the tumor is pretty large or if there are multiple tumors in the breast, then it's really hard to save the breast tissue. So in that case, we do a mastectomy. And double mastectomy is, it's really utilized in patients who have genetic predisposition for breast cancer, such as BRCA1 or BRCA2 mutations. Yeah. In those cases, we tend to offer prophylactic mastectomies.
It also depends
on the patient preferences. If the patient is like, I really don't want to deal with, risk for breast cancer in the future, then they tend to go for double mastectomies. But it is a discussion between the patient and the surgeon.
Absolutely. We're going to get to that genetic end in just a minute, but I want to talk about advancements for a quick second, because it feels like we've come light years in this world. What advancements in breast cancer treatment have made more of the most significant impact in recent years?
Yeah, so there have been so many advances in the past few years. I mean, every year we have something new on the horizon. For me personally, I feel like the area of antibody drug conjugates is a big field. Basically, what antibody drug conjugate is that it is a type of targeted therapy where an antibody that targets the cancer cells is linked to a cancer-killing molecule. The examples of these are Kadcyla and HER2, which we utilize in HER2-positive breast cancers. And this year's ASCO, the Destiny Breast 06 trial showed that, we can use these drugs to slow down the growth of cancers that express this receptor at a very low level. So we call these cancers as HER2 low or ultra low. So basically, Enhertu works in patients with extremely low levels of this receptor. The other example of an ADC is Trodelvy, which we use in triple negative breast cancer, and it has pretty good response rates. I really find that nowadays we can treat metastatic breast cancer with oral chemotherapy options, and that is fascinating. And the other thing that was showed at the ASCO this year was the role of new technology, which is called circulating tumor DNA, which has been used vastly in the GI cancers, but now they're testing it for in breast cancer. Basically, what it is, it's a blood test which detects if there are any circulating cancer cells in the body. Mm-hmm. And basically, this is utilized after surgery to see if there is any evidence of cancer in the blood. Patients who have a positive circulating tumor DNA, they tend to have higher rates of recurrences. So it definitely helps us prognosticate these cancers.
Talk with Dr. Ajay Tambe from Our Lady of the Lake about breast cancer and a lot of the advancements. Dr. Tambe, you're making it sound like with those advancements, it's gotten simultaneously more effective and more patient-friendly. Is that accurate?
Yeah, 100% accurate. I mean, treatments are more tolerable now.
Yeah.
You'd be surprised that, in ASCO this year, they published a study where they showed that, patients can now have children even after receiving chemotherapy for breast cancer.
Wow.
Up to 75% patients were pregnant at least once. So I think that's pretty remarkable. It shows us that, survival is not only the goal here, but also, respecting patients' personal life goals.
I said we were going to get back to that genetic end in just a second. Let's do that now. What role does genetic testing play in breast cancer treatment and prevention?
Yes, absolutely. So basically, there are mutations such as BRCA1, BRCA2, but there are also other mutations such as ATM, CHEK2, PALB2, P10, TP53, which help us determine in assessing an individual's risk for developing breast cancer and also ovarian cancer. Mm-hmm. Patients with these mutations, they need frequent and intense screening protocols such as MRI and mammography to detect the cancer at an early stage. And we often have discussions about prophylactic mastectomies or oophorectomies in which we remove the ovaries to reduce their chances of developing cancer in their breasts or their ovaries. Genetic testing also helps the family. So patients, you know, it helps their first degree relatives regarding what measures they should take in order to reduce the instances of cancer in them.
I've always found it interesting that when it comes to the genetic testing, it's just because you don't have breast cancer in your family tree is no reason to let your guard down. But when you do have it in your family tree, it's every bit the more reason to be more proactive than reactive.
Yes, that's correct.
Let's talk about lifestyle factors, because with a number of cancers out there, what you're doing is as important as anything else. What lifestyle factors play into reducing risk?
So there are several studies which show that lifestyle changes such as weight loss, you know, especially dealing with obesity, reduces the risk of breast cancer, especially in postmenopausal women. Regular exercise, so exercising at least 150 minutes per week, mm-hmm. Has shown to reduce the instances of cancer. Sticking to a healthy diet consisting of fruits, vegetables, lean proteins, and then avoiding smoking and tobacco consumption can significantly lower the risk for breast cancer. It is recommended to restrict alcohol intake to no more than one drink per day. And for the patients with family history of breast cancer, especially first degree mm-hmm. Breast cancer, you know, I would highly recommend going for genetic testing. And lastly, I would like to emphasize the importance of screening mammograms in patients starting at the age of 40. This is done once every year or once every other year till the age of 75. And patients with higher risk for breast cancer, they need to start screening at an earlier age.
The exercising, you said once a week for 15 minutes. Doc, we got to raise the bar on that one, man. Come on.
No, I said 150 minutes.
All right, that's fair. Hey, let's kind of take a little broader view before we close out here. Because for someone who is diagnosed, when they're in the moment, what counts the most to you when treating someone during their journey, during their breast cancer journey?
I mean, you know, like you said, breast cancer definitely takes a huge toll on the patient, not just the patient, but also their families, their emotional well-being, their physical health, everything is affected. So for me personally, I think supporting my patients with emotional support and empathy counts the most. Having a clear communication, so whatever questions they have, I make sure that all the questions are answered and the patients are educated about, you know, what treatment I'm going to offer. But it all counts here at Our Lady of the Lake Cancer Institute. So we take into consideration every single aspect about the patient's life.
He is Dr. Ajay Tombay. Man, I really, really appreciate all the time you've given up for this, your expertise, your information. Fantastic stuff. Dr. Tombay, thank you for hopping on board.
Thank you so much for having me. Have a good day.